You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Well, when he delivers his Nobel lecture within the hour, the president is expected to note this irony. I mean, this could be a turning point in history or a moment of irony as bitter as, say, the peace promises of Neville Chamberlain, the British Prime Minister that preceded World War II. The Nobel Peace Prize ceremonies today underscore the global pivot point occupied right now by the American president and this year's Peace Prize winner. With escalation of the war in Afghanistan, military occupation in Iraq, a diplomatic initiative stymied in the Middle East, nuclear stalemates in Iran and North Korea, a tentative dialogue begun on nuclear weapons with the Russians, this year's prize promises an ambiguous peace in our time. It's up to Barack Obama to deliver, and as we await the president's acceptance speech, his lecture, and wonder about the thoughts of tall international orders that must be playing about in the president's mind this morning, we want to explore this question and this moment in history with Wangari Maathai, founder of the Green Belt Movement. Along with that organization, she won the 2004 Nobel Peace Prize for work in human rights and environmental conservation. Good morning once again, Wangari Maathai.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
And Michael Doyle, we've already spoken with him. He's a professor of international affairs, law, and political science at Columbia University. Michael, thanks for staying with us.
Good morning, John.
And Charlie Sennett is the executive editor and vice president of Global Post. He often talks with us about international affairs. He's going to be with us throughout the entire show. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, John.
So, Wangari Maathai, let me begin with you. Does the Nobel Peace Prize, you're someone who works on the grassroots level, and I'm wondering if winning a Nobel Peace Prize gets in the way of your work or actually assists you, gives you more credibility, helps you.
I think it is important to realize that the Nobel Peace Prize is not necessarily a prize because you have achieved peace. It is because you are working towards peace. And what it does is that it provides you with a platform, a global platform, so that those great ideas that you have that can help the world to realize peace are enhanced and are shared with a greater forum in the world.
You know, Michael Doyle, the prize has been often awarded to individuals who work like Wangari Maathai at the grassroots level, but also world leaders. People like Teddy Roosevelt, the sitting president, received the prize, nearly a century ago. What is the track record? Do the top-down leaders do better in representing the vision of the prize, or people like Wangari Maathai who work from the grassroots?
I think one of the great strengths of the Nobel Prize is that it's diverse in just the way that Wangari Maathai described. It takes the many different meanings of peace and offers an opportunity to honor them all and give then the recipients a platform from which they can achieve even more. I think it's the great attraction of it.
But Barack Obama, of course, is already the president. I mean, does he have to now eliminate nuclear weapons from the world to even have a chance of being able to say that he deserved this award today?
No, but he does have to struggle for peace. That is, he's been given the prize for having changed the climate or begun to change the climate of world politics toward negotiation, away from pure confrontation. And frankly, this is a prize that he still has to earn. It's important to change the climate, but you want to really be able to deliver something that's changing the lives of real people, and that's yet to be done.
And that's the question we're asking all of you at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org. Charlie Sennett, it occurred to me thinking about this morning and talking with Celeste about it this morning that maybe the easy thing for Barack Obama would be to end the two wars that are ongoing in Iraq and Afghanistan, that the nuclear disarmament is very, very difficult. The kind of global cooperation that the Nobel Committee talked about in granting the award, that's very, very abstract. But if he merely ends these two wars, do you think he deserves the prize?
I think if he manages the build down of these two wars, yeah, I think that gets a long way down the road to deserving this prize. You know, I was thinking about the tremendous irony in the room that you have a president who is being awarded the Peace Prize while he's managing two wars. But I just wanted to say that the history of the Nobel Peace Prize is filled with irony, right? I mean, Nobel was a Swedish industrialist, arms manufacturer who invented dynamite. So the ironies are always there, and I loved that phrase about working toward peace, and I think that is really the mission ahead for President Obama.
Well, Wangari Maathai, you are probably the best person, maybe among a very few in the world to ask this question to. What's it going to take for Barack Obama to truly earn, and he said it himself that he doesn't deserve it, earn this Nobel Peace Prize over the next 4 to 8 years?
Well, it's It certainly is not easy, and I doubt that there is anybody who would want to be in his shoes right now. But it's going to take the goodwill of the people of the United States of America, who obviously also put him there because they had hope in him. It's also going to take the goodwill of the world, which also celebrated his election, and who to whom he has given so much hope. Mm. So alone he cannot do it, but with a lot of people, a lot of governments in the world that want a more peaceful world, we can achieve it. And he just happens to be the right person of the right country at this time. And I think with the right support, the world can truly move towards a more peaceful status.
Well, a lot of hope there, in the words of Wangari Maathai, the 2004 Nobel Peace Prize winner. Michael Doyle, she raises a great point that actually the president alluded to in his very humble initial reaction to receiving the award, and that is, this is about American leadership. Do you think the Nobel Committee is explicitly saying that a credible American leadership with the U.S. Political consensus about how to move forward is essential to achieving peace in the world, that it's as essential as, say, the United Nations?
Yes, I think so. That is, that they're saying that, you know, the world's greatest superpower needs to step up and take the responsibility to be a leader for the cause of peace. And, you know, they've succeeded, so to speak, in the past in these kinds of awards on promise. Oscar Arias got it in 1987, as he was launching the Central American peace process.
Right, right, right. That's true. That is absolutely true. Where have the promises not been fulfilled?
Well, you know, there have been times when the prize has been awarded. I think you began in your introduction with a mention of Austin Chamberlain. That was hardly a high point in the Nobel Peace Prize history. There have been other cases where awards have been given for negotiations that never really produced, maybe couldn't produce anything close to a peace. And I think of some of the negotiations in Vietnam.
Michael Doyle, do you remember the name of Joseph Rotblat?
Then I think he was a scientist in disarmament.
Anti-nuke scientist who won the prize in 1995, who said there needs to be a change in the nuclear arsenals down to zero, exactly what Barack Obama has proposed. Do you think this is the best chance to have true nuclear disarmament with this prize?
In my view, it's more important to have nuclear arms reduction and control. Whether it ever reaches zero is not as important as the reduction in the control.
All right. Michael Doyle, professor of international affairs, law, and political science at Columbia University, and Wangari Maathai, 2004 Nobel Peace Prize winner, founder of the Green Belt Movement. Thanks to you both.
Thank you very much.
And Charlie Sennett is going to stay with us for the hour, executive editor and founder of GlobalPost.com.